Fairmont Heritage Office, 590 West Bonita Avenue. This is a meeting of church historians. Viola Keene will be interviewing Helen Gibson, one of the founding members of St. Sure. Thank you. Helen Gibson.
There are Gibsons around, but I'm not related
but
at all.
But Gibson, like the roofing material.
Right.
Well, it's G-I-P-S-O-N. No, okay, dear.
One of the founding members of St. Ambrose Church.
Now, you told us how long you had you were a founding member.
Well, I was not a founding member, but I arrived within a year.
Within a year. And what year was that?
It was founded. The first thing that happened was a Sunday school was started at the home of George Gibbs before they even started meeting for services.
Oh.
And that was in 1951.
51. And was that when you came?
I came that fall.
Uh-huh.
And then the next year I became a teacher in the Sunday school for a little while.
And what did you
and
teach?
And sang in the choir.
What group did you teach?
A small, a very young group. About 8, 9 years old.
Oh, early middle grades. And who was your priest then?
Well, we didn't have a priest because we were starting out as a mission.
Oh, uh-huh.
And the bishop finally allowed us to have a mission. We had to, people went in to see our bishop in Los Angeles and said they felt that they should have one, a mission. And so Dr. Ernest Strachman, Professor Strachman,
mm-hmm.
In 1952, in August, he wrote to the bishop and said what accomplishments had been reached already. Mm-hmm. And then there were a group of men, John Engel, who was elected treasurer, pro tem, George Gibbs, John Staub, doctor, and Ernest Strachman were appointed to be on the committee to start this thing going. And the famous pianist, Lee Patterson, who was head of the music at Scripps at that time and was going to be a member, was appointed as director of music and pianist for it all. The first person that led these services was a Jack Miller on the faculty of Pomona College.
Mm-hmm.
He was called a lay reader, and he was permitted to conduct services, but he could not give his own sermons, but he could select sermons to read.
How interesting.
And he selected beautiful ones, and they were extremely impressive, I think. And then once a month, about a clergyman was sent out to conduct a communion service because he was not permitted also to offer communion because he was just a lay.
He was not ordained.
He was not an ordained man.
Mm-hmm. But what size was your congregation then?
Well, it was very, when they first met, I tell about that in this write-up, it was 76.
That's a good size.
The first service was held on September 21st, 1952, with 77 people in attendance. That does not mean they were all members at that time.
No, but that's a good group.
Yes.
Were the Bentley family?
The Bentleys were early. They were early in this. And we met. We didn't, of course, have any building or anything. So we rented some buildings, Pitzer Hall on the campus of Paramount Men's College. They made an arrangement for them, and we had several rooms, one where we met, had our services. And the reason we were able to do that was that President George Benson, president of Paramount Men's College, also one of the early members, gave permission to rent it out. And so these few men would go over every weekend and set it up, a classroom up for the weekend service. And then they put put it all away again until next weekend. And he did that for several years.
Oh, my. Well, it took that kind of thing, that kind of thing to get a church going.
That's right. And you see, there were Episcopal churches in Upland, Ontario, Pomona, and the people who lived here in Claremont felt that there were enough people in Claremont to start one, and they didn't particularly enjoy driving long distances.
Well, if you had 77 people for the first service.
Well, that was the first service. They were not all members at that time.
No, but
because when I arrived,
you drew that much interest.
I wasn't there for that first service. But when I arrived, it was right in there, 40 years ago. I thought I was the 50th person to be a member.
And how did you happen to come to Claremont?
Oh, that's another long story.
But couldn't you just tell us what?
Well, I came from Minnesota.
You came from Minnesota?
And my mother had a stepmother who lived here. And she kept talking about this marvelous place and these colleges. She wanted me to attend one of the colleges, but I held off and attended Oberlin instead in Ohio. But after she was gone, and I was deciding to move a better climate.
Yes.
And I'm a musician, and I wanted to open up a music studio. So I considered this as possible. And I even wrote to the secretary, Mrs. Lincoln, at the Chamber of Commerce, to ask her advice. I was told to do that, and she answered. And
what kind of music did you teach?
Well, I taught piano.
Piano.
But I was going to start out absolutely cold, nobody knew me at all.
Mm.
And I had been teaching in various places, both college level and privately, even in Honolulu for 3 years. So,
well, that's how you came to Claremont.
I arrived here after having investigated quite carefully. And the one thing, when I first arrived, the first week, I immediately inquired if there was an Episcopal church, because I'm a Episcopalian from birth. And that was the one thing there wasn't at the moment. They said they're stocking one.
Then did you play for the first church?
No, Mr. Patterson was famous.
Oh, yes.
Concert pianist was our pianist. But he assembled a choir, and of course I joined the choir right away. We just had a piano. It was loaned to us, a piano.
Oh, isn't that interesting?